Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. My name is Seth, also known as White Fox SG, and we are a Battletech podcast highlighting the storied mercenary units in the newest Kickstarter from Catalyst Game Labs and beyond. Also known as White Fox SG, I think I said that, but I'm joined today by a very special guest, my co-host for this episode, Matt Bloodbath Barons from Wolfnet Radio Podcast. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, very good, and thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. We are fortunate enough to be talking about the Camachos Caballeros in this ninth episode of the Mercenary Star Podcast. But first, Matt, just so the people know who you are, you're one of the founders of the Wolfnet Radio Podcast, if I'm not mistaken, and you were one of the first to welcome me to the community whenever I joined up, goodness, I don't know, 5 years ago now at this point? It's been a while.
yeah, for sure, at least 4 or 5, because you really helped us with our logo.
Yeah, it's crazy how long, how much time has gone by. But, I mean, it was before the last Kickstarter. So, it's been a while. But for all of our sakes, how long have you been a Battletech fan? When did you get into it?
I want to say at least 22, if not more, years ago. Awesome. In high school.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely the 90s. So, for me as well. So, like, I hit pretty early. I had some older friends who got me into it, and so I was still middle school age. But it was like early 90s for me, for sure. So, awesome. Well, I don't know about you, but I really like the Camachos Caballeros. In fact, I'm just kidding. I know you like them because that's why you're here.
That's a fact.
Exactly. But, you know, we're going to jump into talking about them here in just a second. But what is it about them that you like?
I appreciate that they have individual paint schemes to each of their units.
Oh, yeah.
I like it that they had some very good, very good novels done by Victor Milan. God Absolutely. Rest his soul. And there's a short story I found too that I just recently noticed that, you know, being a fool and not reading everything you have on your shelf 100% cover to cover, you find those Easter eggs and you find those golden nuggets when you start looking at a rabbit hole, which we all know happens like every day.
Oh, easily in the Battletech universe.
And I appreciate that they've carried some of that combined arms and focused a lot of their storyline with some of the internal, external struggles of Cassie Southern, the infantry, you know, soldier. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Like, definitely the main character, and she's an infantry, not a, you know, battle armored infantry, not a, a straight up, like, lowest rank you can get infantry.
And to the epitome of the idea of you have nothing but what you're carrying on your LPCs, your load, your personal leather carriers.
And most of the time she doesn't even carry that. She just carries a knife.
Yeah. Half the time she's like naked with a Chris knife and it's named Blood Drinker. And she's dirty in the swamp or thicket or urban combat area.
Oh, yeah. Like she's like that true stealth assassin type, special. I mean, she's not really special forces. They call her a scout, but they pretty much treat her like special forces.
She can handle like 3 times her own weight. She's a true snake eater.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic character. And if you have not read the novels, we're going to talk about them in just a minute, but they are some of the best novels in BattleTech for sure. I like most of the novels, but like these definitely have been some of my favorites, but we can get into it. Let's jump over to our presentation.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, shall we? So real quick, we've got Camachos Caballeros. They are one of the... They've been around for a while, since the 90s. But we don't really know that much about their origin. We don't necessarily have a "this is how they were formed" story. And so we don't know the exact year that they became a unit. Best we can tell, it's the early 3000s, because the unit is definitely named for their commanding officer, Carlos Camacho. And we find them as a full regiment in the War of 3039.
Which is huge.
Which is huge for 3039. I mean, that's up there with, you know, Wolf's Dragoons, Eridani Light Horse. I mean, I guess even the Grey Death Legion by then. I mean, that's like a probably top 1% of mercenary units at that point.
And they really focused on having a lot more techs in their regiments, because they wanted to have that tech base and take care of their equipment. You hear that a lot.
Yeah, and a lot of the, I feel like a lot of them like also were kind of gearheads in the sense.
Yeah, and they,
as far as the
characters nicknamed them, they even nicknamed them Aztecs.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so we kind of hear about them first, having been in the War of 3039 in a flashback, I'm pretty sure, at some point. But then we catch up to them just before the clan invasion in the first novel. And so that's where the main books take place. And we'll get to that in a second. But the Caballeros were founded, like I said, early 3000s. Carlos Camacho was their commanding officer. And
here he comes from nobility, from House Camacho.
Yes, he was from had some connection with Merrick nobility, or Free World's League nobility, essentially. Because many of the members of the Caballeros came from the Trinity Worlds, which were on the periphery edge of the Free World's League. Pretty close to the Lyran Commonwealth border as well.
You even hear about in like the short story that they have Free World's League olive drab uniforms occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They've got, and they're such, part of why I think they are so interesting is that they are such a diverse group of people, and yet their culture is very Southwest, you know, Native American, Hispanic, rough and tumble cowboys is kind of the whole shtick that they give, that Victor Milan has given them. And I'm totally here for it. I love it. I mean, there's literally guys named call sign. His call sign is cowboy.
There's literally a jargon.
With
plenty of Spanish in these novels, and it is fun to learn and just see that carry through. That's nice.
Yeah, it's a fantastic read. The characters are incredible. There's a little bit of I mean, they're all kind of crazy. In the best way possible, you know.
They're a little unhinged occasionally, especially like the younger officers are definitely a little unhinged, or the NCOs.
Well, and then again, this is early days of BattleTech, and BattleTech has never been, as far as how the mechs move and how they're treated, you know, they can move at speed, but they've never been treated as like extensions of the pilot, you know, like in more Eastern mecha stories, you know, where it's like almost, you know, in Gundam and Robotech and stuff like that, it's almost like they're an extension of the pilot and they're like fighting like crazy fast and doing all these acrobatics. That's never the case in BattleTech, except for a couple of times. And one of those is definitely in one of these novels. And we have a Wasp pilot that somersaults his mech. Impressive. That's all I'm saying. Also, it's a Wasp pilot. I guess it's not really a Stinger, so it's not quite the same. But if you've listened to Of Mechs and Men, the fantastic BattleTech Book Club podcast, Stinger pilots are, you know, a dime a dozen. They are always dying left and right. And I can't remember, because it's been so long since I've read the books. Do they have a Stinger pilot too?
Yes, they do.
And does he die? I don't remember.
That I'm going to have to relook at.
Me too. I feel like he can't die, at least not in the first book. And
it's,
if not,
it's French Fry who's in the Stinger.
Okay.
And then... what is it? The Wasp.
The Wasp
piloted...
is Cowboy. Right?
Absolutely. It is. I'm looking for his. It's a black and yellow striped.
Oh, yeah.
Yellow jacket. Cowboy William James Payson.
Fantastic. It, like straight up Wasp colors, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yellow jacket. But yeah, they like.
And hopefully, his character is a little bit unhinged too, because he's always 100%. Acted tough and strutting like his namesake, and it's entertaining to hear that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, he's crazy. In the best way possible.
Well, in some cases it's it could be brought up on charges.
Oh, absolutely.
But, yeah. Yeah. It's good to hear the story, though, not in real
but
life.
But if I've got to look it up, and I'm not going to promise it yet, but I know that they listen occasionally, and hopefully this is an example of a Stinger pilot. Definitely a Wasp pilot, but a Stinger pilot that survives. So we're going to – I've got to fact check myself again now that I'm thinking about it, but – but yeah, I can't wait for them to get to these books as well, because I think they'll just find them fantastic. But they, all the characters in these novels and the Caballeros themselves, they're just all super fantastic individual characters. And, you know, we're here for we're here for the mechs. We're here for the robots. But man, the characters make it. In these novels, for sure. If you don't know, the three novels that they are in is they're all by Victor Milan. That is Close Quarters, Hearts of Chaos, and Black Dragon. If you're watching the video, they are up on the screen now in our presentation. And they, again, they're fantastic books. They came out within 2 years, 2.5 years of each other. So it was, we didn't have a long wait when they first came out, especially for the last two, which was great. And they do follow Cassie Southern, this infantry scout. She's even been with the Caballeros for a while when we come upon her in the books, but she is still considered an outsider because she's not,
She's not
of the Trinity worlds like they are.
Right.
And they call her Abtaka, So nice little snippet there. But it's a real point of conflict with her for the whole first book until they finally explain that, like, it's a term of endearment for them. They love her to death. She's like the daughter of the whole regiment. You know, everyone knows that she's the craziest of them all. And she can, you know, she consistently takes down battle mechs. And that's, again, part of the fun part of the stories is that she is an infantryman who takes down mechs. And, you know, it's not the same as, like, Grace and Death Carlisle, right? He and Ramage of the GDL, they're known for taking down mechs, but they're like trained anti-mech infantry, right? And so it's like they've got all the tricks of normal anti-mech infantry. So and a lot more people, but they're sticking the satchel charges, which, again, I know that's not what they look like, but I swear to my 13-year-old brain when I was reading this, you know, not having a military family and background, a satchel charge to me, they were just like, yeah, in a bag. It's just like some explosives. I just kept picturing this like duffel bag, like old school sports duffel bag. And they've just packed it full of explosives and they're running up and shoving it in a knee joint. I know that's not what it is, but I'm just saying, like, the mental image is always there. But yeah, that's the Grey Death Legion. And then you've got Cassie Southern, and she is the MacGyver of taking down battle mechs. I mean, it's a famous scene in the book, and it's referenced as a joke later in the book that all we need is a mop handle and Cassie Southern's going to take down a mech.
That's awesome.
I mean, you got to read it. I can't give anything else away, but you got to read it because it's fantastic. But yeah, we're going to get into their, a summary for them here, but it's just also too, I feel like this was one of the first books that we got a good look at a completely different culture than what we were used to in the 90s with all of the mercenary companies that we were very, very military. And this unit was like a family.
Oh,
this,
yeah.
This unit was rough and tumble. Half of them were the crazy uncle. The other half were the crazy cousins, you know. And then they also ended up working for cousin of the coordinator of the Draconis Combine. And so then we get a bunch of crazy mech warriors, you know, in the 3050s and beyond, after the death to mercenaries has lifted, and they are working in the Draconis Combine. So we get to see, you know, both a positive and negative side of the Draconis Combine culture next to and alongside these crazy cowboys. So, add more, but to what I'm saying here, but like it's hard to compare these books to the kind of standard military history sci-fi that we get with all the others. I mean, unless you can think of others that fit the bill.
You know, this reminds me of a spaghetti western in BattleTech format.
100%. Yeah. And I think, you know, kind of like, and again, that's part of why I like BattleTech, is that it is got a little bit of that Western feel. It's got a little bit of the, you know, some of them have a little bit of that, you know, a knight in armor kind of feel. Like the mech warriors are very treated with this nobility and this romanticism of being, a knight, essentially, kind of thing. But yeah, these definitely have that spaghetti Western. And I have a much greater appreciation now, even. Of it. So, but let's talk about them for a little bit. So the the Camachos Caballeros, also known as the 17th Recon Regiment. Again, formed in the 3000s. Their first appearance, I don't know if it was just the logo was in the original Mercenary Handbook in 1987 as part of this weird mistake by the publishers that was supposed to be a unit in the Eridani Light Horse. I don't know the exact details of it. So if somebody has an old copy, like an old copy of the Mercenary Handbook, I'd be curious to know what's in there, because they said it was in the Battletech forums, and apparently someone from FASA or somebody official responded saying that it was an oversight based on a unit patch depiction in the Old Mercenaries Handbook for the 17th Recon Regiment. However, the patch referred to a subunit of the Eridani Light Horse, which is obviously a distinctly different unit. So yeah, that's kind of a cool little snippet there. The first appearance in fiction obviously was the first novel, Close Quarters, from 1994. And like I said, the other two came out in 1996. And then the third piece of fiction, I swear, like we were having this discussion before we recorded. The fourth piece of fiction that is about Cassie Southern, I swear, is somewhere in the novels. As we were talking about it, I was like, I swear I've read this. And I don't know if it was a snippet in one of the novels, if it was like some flashback sequences, but it was definitely printed in the 25th anniversary, Battletech anniversary, art and fiction book in 2009.
And that is Ozymandias.
Yeah, that's the name of the short story there. And like I said, I swear it was published somewhere before 2009, because I was definitely not in Battletech in 2009 in any shape or form. I had just gotten married in 2008. I had been out probably for at least 5 years before that, and then I didn't get back into Battletech until Harebrained Schemes launched their Kickstarter for the video game, and then my radar was up, and when Catalyst Game Labs put out the first box set, I came back in. That I didn't actually buy the first box set, I couldn't find it, and so I ended up getting. The first purchase back was the Battletech manual. I actually had a friend deliver it from Gen Con when it was released. So I got it before most everyone else. You know, it was an older cover. It's got the Timberwolf on it. Like the old school Timberwolf on it, as opposed to the new Sculpt. And now that book has the Crusader on it, so... I don't know. I'm going to have to figure out where that story came from, because I have 100% read it. I just don't remember where. So, but yeah, that's the fourth piece of fiction.
We'll have to deep dive that one.
Yeah, for sure. We'll probably do it after we finish recording here. If not.
Follow up.
But yeah, so that's the four pieces of fiction. That we know of. There's another piece of fiction out there tangentially related, but nothing actually connects it. So ask me about it later, but we're not going to put it in here.
No. We'd rather have facts instead of...
Yes, yes. Well, facts moments. As much as we can get them. But yeah. Just kind of a snippet. You can find this on Sarna, and this is what's described in Close Quarters. The unit's mostly Free Worlds League natives, very diverse ethnicities, and many of the members hail from the three worlds called the Trinity of Southwestern Worlds. Like I said, on the periphery of that, and mostly of Hispanic descent, but there's also Native American in there and many others. And it's interesting because Victor Milan even goes so far as to give them each, not each, but many of them, in their character development, he talks about, you know, their faith or, you know, their belief, core values, you know, cultural beliefs, you know, talking about what their ancestors from Terra did, basically. And so, yeah, very cool. Another fun fact, they did face the clans in the clan invasion. And Carlos Camacho was actually famous for piloting a Timberwolf with the shark's mouth on it. Great image. Totally brings me back to the World War II fighter pilot or fighter plane vibes. You know, I just picture it, you know, giant shark's teeth. And so they had a rather eclectic collection of mechs. Would you say
with that, was it a Timberwolf A that they picked up from the Smoke Jaguars? I think
it was a Prime or an A. It was one of those two. I can't remember honestly, but it was definitely one of the primary configurations from the 3050 book.
And so, speaking of eclectic units, yeah, it's a fun hodgepodge.
Yes, and part of what you mentioned earlier, they were basically allowed to paint it whatever they wanted, unless they were specifically doing a camo pattern. But I don't even know that they did that very often.
There was in that short story, they talked about a yellow mottled, and khaki paint scheme that their lance was painted in on the pirate world.
Sounds and very then, Panzer-esque.
Yeah, most definitely. And then they have this different time period where everybody paints their own unit the way they want to, which is a lot of fun because,
oh yeah,
how more confusing on the battlefield is, who are these guys? Like, I don't know, but they have different painted things.
You've got all silver. You've got one that has, what was it? The Locust had toys attached to the outside of it or something.
Yep. Toys crazy attached to the outside. Like there's a big tree butterfly on the Valkyrie.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
There's a big red-tailed hawk. I think on the Shadow Hawk.
Was it a Shadow Hawk? Red tail? Hawk?
I believe it's a red tail.
But then you had the Wasp that was literally painted like a wasp, red and yellow, you know, striping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, again, as a young enthusiast of BattleTech, what more could you want than like cool custom paint jobs, right?
And even having like a fire starter that's painted silver, like a Zippo, that's fun. That's a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. After the clan invasion, they became employed by Chandra Sekhar.
Uncle Chandy.
Yeah, Karita. Uncle Chandy. He was the uncle of Theodore Karita? Or was he cousin?
This is his nickname.
He was called Uncle Chandy, so I assume that he was the uncle. Again, it's been probably 20 years since I've read these books. But yeah, he was like the eclectic...
known as Uncle Chandy to his friends.
He was kind of like the black sheep of the family of the Karitas. But he was well-loved by Theodore and Theodore's family. And so they get hired by them through most of the time period between, you know, post-clan invasion to just before the Blakist era, so that we can not say that word and get pinged.
But yeah, some of the history is he was a distant cousin to Takashi Kurita.
Okay. Okay. So he was a cousin. He just wasn't.
Or excuse me, Theodore Kurita, and then ultimately exiled by the court, and then started building his business.
Yeah, he was a savvy business person for sure. But along with that, you know, and this is kind of going through the books, the Caballeros end up in the service to Uncle Chandy. They end up fighting the Black Dragon Society, which is like a secret society within the Draconis Combine. They fight the Otomo, or not the whole Otomo, but they fight Otomo assassins who are trying to kill the coordinator on his birthday, along with Uncle Chandy. They, you know, fight against the ISF. Cassie kind of has her what am I trying to think of? You've got your protagonist and your antagonist. She kind of has her antagonist in the internal security force, the ISF. And since she is like a special forces person going up against this like ninja assassin, great times reading it. Occasionally there's some teaming up. I'm just telling you, this is one big advertisement to read this trilogy. That's all I'm really saying. But yeah, and then they eventually, as it comes towards the end of the Civil War period and into the Blakist period, they end up going back to the Trinity Worlds, and the Free Worlds League falls apart. The Trinity Worlds are kind of annexed by the Lyran Alliance, and so they basically form a contract with the Lyran Alliance to say, hey, we'll take a contract, but you have to let us defend our worlds, basically. And then we'll do other defensive contracts for you. So,
and that got messy.
It did get messy. They into the Dark Ages kind of continued to do that, but, where did that page go?
They beat up some ghost bears with some hitmen mechs spotting for artillery. That was kind of cool.
Ugly mechs. but yeah, they faced off against the ghost bears.
They linked up with the Wolf's Dragoons for a while.
Yes, fighting alongside them. They also faced
Epsilon, I think it was.
I think so. Let me see here. They also faced off against the Marian Hegemony.
Oh, a lot.
A lot that, during the Dark Ages. That was a Ages. Lot. Yeah. That's one of those factions that I don't know a whole lot about, except for what has come out in some of the new fiction. Like, there's a story in the most recent Shrapnel about one unit who is facing against some Marian Hegemony. And it's crazy because I didn't realize until that book that they emulate the Roman Empire in almost literally their entire culture. Like, they have a Caesar, they have all the Roman like legionnaire, you know, ranks down to the Latin names for them. Interesting, but kind of crazy. But it definitely piqued my interest, the fiction that was in Shrapnel 13, I think is what it was. But yeah, so they faced off against them quite a bit. They also faced off against the Jade... Well, they were going to face off against the Jade Falcons until the Blakists happened. After that, like I said, Marian Hegemony, they fought alongside the Wolf's Dragoons. They fought alongside the Spider's Web Battalion and the Gamma Regiment, actually.
That's what it was. There's like two or three of them.
Yeah. And they were fighting against the Tamarind Regulars. So they were fighting against one of the former Free Worlds League states, the Duchy of Tamarind Abbey. into the 3100s. But it's funny because whenever the Free Worlds League actually, whenever they actually fell apart before the Liren Alliance came calling, Carlos Camacho was actually made president of one of the planets of the Trinity World.
As he should.
As he should be, considering he had four battalions to defend the Trinity and a few other worlds around them.
Yeah, who's going to say no?
No, of course. Everyone's like, yeah, you do it. You'd be great.
Just start petting one of the Battletech feet and be like, yeah. What do you mean you don't want me to be president? Don't let me unleash my hounds.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's so crazy. But yeah, so he was president for a while there. In 3106, the commanding officer of the Caballeros was Jesus Camacho, son of former command. Oh, that's what it was. It wasn't Gavilan. It was the son of former commander Gavilan Camacho. And he, it said that he died in 3106, and then command went to his wife, Angela Camacho, who was the daughter of Cassie Southern. Famed
nice to see it.
Scout. Yeah.
Nice to see you go full circle.
Full circle. As they do, right? I mean, they know they had to tie in a lot of these characters in the new eras to characters that we related to and loved. And I think they had to kind of do that. And in a lot of instances, they had to do it with, you know, I'm talking about Catalyst Game Labs here, had to do a lot of that because of the treatment that Wizards of the, you know, WizKids and FanPro did when they like killed everybody or just tried to skip forward and be like, oh yeah, there are no one's around anymore, you know, and really lost the hearts and minds of the BattleTech fans for a while. So yeah, I feel like, you know, it's a little convenient that, but at the same time, the family legacy in BattleTech has always been strong.
This way it keeps the plot thickening.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what I'm saying? Out. Like the entire BattleTech universe, that is a theme, that family legacy, right? Whether it's with the major you know, rulers houses. Of the houses, you know, House Kurita, House Steiner, Davion, Liao, Merrick, whether it's, I mean, clans and their blood names, but then mercenary units. I mean, you've got all the mercenary units, you know, but again, going back to the days of the Succession Wars, it was also family legacy because most mechs were handed down to family members.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. I mean, somebody in the family was going to get it and they were going to become a pilot because those things were so expensive and they were basically lost tech during the Succession Wars. Nobody was making them anymore until the, you know, early 3000s when they started finally making them and then really producing them thanks to the Helm Memory Core. So, but yeah, I, for one, am glad that they have survived the Dark Ages and they are in the Ill Clan era.
Still
approximately full strength. Because they've
now
basically
they're talking,
been, yeah,
they're talking of bringing out the mercenary era.
Oh,
after
yeah.
the Ill Clan. That's so they have to be there, right?
They have to be there. Well, so, I mean, the recent Kickstarter was the Mercenaries Kickstarter. Sadly, we don't have a force pack to talk about, but we're going to have a fun exercise where we talk about what we think the ideal force pack for the Caballeros would be. But the unit as a whole has made it to the Ill Clan era. They are, again, in the service of the Free Worlds League, because the Free Worlds League came back and retook over all those planets, and they basically made the same deal with them that they did with the Liren Alliance, like, you know, 80 years previous. And so they then, and then during that time, again, fighting the Marian hegemony. But in 3150, they defeated, or they assaulted and conquered the capital, the province capital of Illyria of the Marian hegemony. They finally did it. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops moving into the Ilclan era. But yeah, they have basically been at regimental strength the entire time. I feel like they didn't really have to decommission since they were in kind of off by themselves defending the Trinity Worlds.
Well, maybe if the jihad struck them a little bit, they might have been knocked down a peg or two.
I don't think that they really were in that, though, because they were basically being defensive against, you know, when the Free Worlds League left, well, dissolved, and they kind of just came back and had their own little alliance of planets that they defended. So,
pretty nice if they can avoid it.
Yeah, one of the few, honestly. But very cool mercenary unit. Highly recommend reading these novels. And I mean, I've been on a kick reading more BattleTech lately because of the fantastic bundle, that, you know, humble bundle that delivered the first 60 novels. So yeah, awesome books to read. But Matt, let's go into this fun little exercise. Now that we are past all of the released force packs from Catalyst, what do we think the ideal mechs for a force pack for Camacho's Caballeros would be?
Well, you definitely have some of those original units that have already been kind of done, since they take on, you know, nice salvage.
Absolutely.
I think we talked earlier before about just reposing or adding a jumping style to, say, like a Phoenix Talk or a Shadowhawk or a
Wasp. We've got a jumping Shadowhawk already. I think a jumping Wasp, mostly because Cowboy is such a prolific character. I feel like that's one of the best options. And then
What if he's in a kneeling jump where he can kneel and jump?
Yeah, when you take him off of the plume of smoke, his legs are in such a way that you could almost have him kneeling like he's about to roll a somersault, because it's canon. Okay, he rolled a somersault.
Have him cannonball.
Yes, and he's like cannonballing through the air. Yeah.
And he's like taking a dump when he's on the hex. Just kidding.
Oh, man. But yeah, so that, I feel like that's a great candidate for the jumping. I do like the Phoenix Hawk too, but I just think the Wasp and Cowboy, it was just such a prolific character in the books. What about a reposed? What's something out there that would be a good repose?
Now, you talked about a hunchback.
Yes. And I know Chandler will love this. Because he's, you know, a hunchback fan, 3069. It's his new handle. Find him on Twitter. Just kidding. Don't. Made that up. But he, I feel like he would love that. And I think that would be an awesome repose, like a repose hunchback. We don't have a whole lot of them, actually. We've got way too many urban mechs, not enough hunchbacks.
that's the truth.
You've heard it here first. So yeah, I think a reposed hunchback would be pretty awesome. I mean, there's so many mechs in the Caballeros that they took through salvage, that the new new edition, we've probably got a list of like 15, you know, that we could add.
Yeah. You could add like a Naginata or a,
oh man, Yeah. But what's okay? So we've got the jumping. I think the wasp. I think that's good. The reposed. Love the hunchback. What about a variant?
A variant of the wasp?
No, no, no. So in most of the force packs, style variant, a jumping, a reposed, and a new. So I think, you know, like you mentioned something about the Battlemaster. I don't remember what Battlemaster it was that Cassie commandeered.
Oh, it would have been a Draconis Combine Battlemaster. It's all painted gold.
So that could be a good variant. I don't know which one it was.
I don't recall it at hand right now either.
I
don't think I ever found a variant, to be honest. Because when I searched through the books to try and make lists for 350 lists or classic lists, I don't think I came across it.
Is there a K version of the Battlemaster? I don't even know that there was one. Because usually it was K, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I don't see any really. So who knows?
Yes, there are other Battlemaster K3 and 4.
There we go. Those are pretty late, though, weren't they?
They are 3064, 3073.
And obviously these books were not then.
A lot of rear tag, C3, master. We're going to have a lot of specialties.
Okay. Well, so maybe not a variant of that. But, like, I don't know. Like, what else? Was there anything else that was... I mean, we have so many Timberwolves. If it was, in fact, a Timberwolf A, I kind of hate to say a Timberwolf. But, I mean, if it was a Timberwolf and it was a variant and it didn't look like a Timberwolf, I could maybe go for it. I could definitely go for it if, like you said earlier, on the plastic they put the shark the shark mouth.
Make it embossed.
Yeah, make it embossed with a shark mouth. And a variant. So a variant and it has a shark tooth mouth.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Then yes, I could go for a Timberwolf that way. But otherwise we have a lot of those. Now, the new mechs, my first thought was the Tarantula, a four-legged mech that is oft overlooked. However, there's a cool snippet of info that the Tarantula was, they had a specific pilot who was so good piloting it that the Draconis Combine actually started fielding it because of this pilot in the Caballeros. And so that, I don't know, I just thought that was pretty cool. It was Lieutenant Rosita Gavila La Wolverine Guadalupe Ramirez. That's right.
I'd like to buy another vowel.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, she piloted a Tarantula and it convinced the procurement department to start using the mech. So I don't know. I thought that was cool. But you made an excellent argument for the Hitman, because there were several of them that used that to defeat the Ghost Bears. I mean, they had so many, so many. The Naginata, which was the artillery mech.
Yeah, that was
who was that? Gabby? No.
It was mainly a fire support assault mech.
Yeah.
And it was a pride and joy that they put in the parade when they would leave the dropship. I mean, it was all painted red.
I do love that. I do love the style of it too. It's been a while since I thought about it, but yeah, man, I remember that big ugly mech. So great.
Waddling down the avenue.
Yeah, fantastic. No, I mean, it, you know, like I said, it definitely wasn't, you know, a pretty thing, but I always liked it for sure.
There was talk about, you mentioned artillery, and they talked about a Obey Kimono.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Man, that's tough for me to say. It was a Mike 10 model, and that was an experimental unit that Diana had was using. Yeah, that would be another fun one too.
Obey Kimono.
Ha, what's that?
How do you spell Obey Kimono?
O-B-A-K. Yeah, it's legit. I was like, you will not spell this right without a hyphen or something.
Exactly. Yeah. That was also one of those ones that was just crazy. And yeah, two Aero 4. So yeah, I mean, they had so many others. You listed like the War Dog. You listed give me some of those other ones you said earlier, because I don't know honestly.
Like there was a butterfly on a Valkyrie piloted by Janine Esposito, who picked up a V-bed van and jumped off with it, and ultimately blew up, and there was hardly any pieces left of it. That would be kind of sweet to have a miniature holding a V-bed van.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Diana Vasquez's catapult was an Aero 4 artillery unit.
And then she got the Obey Kimono, right? That's what she upgraded to?
Yeah. Sounds like it. Crazy. I mean, you have classic Dark Lady Callie McDougal's Dark Lady Atlas.
That's why. You just said her name. Callie McDougal.
Oh, that's the Cali story.
That's the Cali story. Hey, okay.
Stars are aligning.
So now we've figured out the connection because we haven't read it all. So there is a fifth. There's a
fifth story.
But it just doesn't have to do with Cassie.
It's Callie's call.
It has to do with Callie. It's Callie McDougal. She, and now I'm remembering Callie McDougal. It's not a great story, honestly. No. I mean, like, it's not a happy story. It's a good story, but it's not a happy story.
It's a story about her rough,
yes,
troubled house upbringing, mm-hmm, with a stepfather, and then the ranch gets assaulted by some bad banditos, and she ends up using the cattle against them and a cattle master with a machine gun, and basically ends all of them.
A ranch master.
Thank you.
But yeah, okay, there we go. There's the connection. I had forgotten about her. I forgot her name.
How did we miss that?
Well, I remembered the Atlas. I forgot her name. But Callie McDougal. So there is a fifth, and it's called Callie's Call. I am adding it to the show notes now, so it will be in the show notes with the others.
That's kind of fun where we start with a baseline, and then all of a sudden, like, hey, let's add two more short stories to it, because it's like a whole... People want to see all these collections so they can experience and go through them in the timeline, which is fun.
And that was that I do know because I had started to put it and I didn't. That was in the Battlecore anthology from 2005. 2005 or 2006?
No. That is 2005, and that takes place in 3039 Succession Wars era.
Yes. Before she was essentially a child at that point. So
she was battling against Locust.
Yeah. So okay, awesome. So she was 13 years old basically. So
everybody's teenager should drive a mech.
Yeah. I cannot picture my 13-year-old driving anything, let alone a mech.
Well, I hope not. They'd have a terrible time parallel parking.
Oh my goodness.
Where are you going to put that thing in the Grove?
Yep. okay. Well, I think that is a fantastic collection of mechs that could be put into a Caballero's Force Pack. So, Catalyst, we've given you a great list. Give us a Caballero's Force Pack, and that'd be fantastic. I'd love that.
Ooh. I've got an alibi.
Okay.
Let's hear a beginning story of the Caballeros.
I would love to have some beginning fiction to the Caballeros. In fact, you know what I think? I remember somebody asking about the Caballeros again. I think it was in one of the Q&As with the CGL guys at last year's Gen Con, or maybe at the launch of the Kickstarter at Adepticon. And because somebody was asking, I think somebody in chat asked about, will we ever see a Caballeros fiction again? Because sadly, Victor Milan has passed on. So,
and we'd like to see that carried along.
Absolutely. I mean, I think he would want that too. But yeah, and they said that, yeah, we would love to have that, but we haven't had anyone to do it yet. And I'm sure that also means they haven't had anyone that they felt would do it justice. So
they're certainly going to have some good slang.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
for sure.
But I would love to see both that story, the origin story of the 17th Recon Regiment, and an ill clan story, because I'm so ready for just more ill clan fiction at this point. I'm ready to move forward. I'm ready to move forward. I do appreciate getting snippets of Dark Age and Blakist era, and even some Succession Wars era short stories in Shrapnel. And I think that's the perfect delivery for a lot of those stories at the moment. But as far as the main novel line, I would be perfectly happy just seeing, barring one or two exceptions. I know there's also Wolf Dragoon's novel that needs to be supposedly finished up.
That's close. It's like there's like a couple chapters left, I think.
But I would love to just move forward into the Ill-Clan era. I'm so ready for it. I know we'll get a lot more when the Mercenaries Kickstarter stuff comes out, but yeah, I'm excited. So I'm excited about the future of BattleTech and find out, more in the story for all of these mercenary units, as if they still exist. We'll definitely have some that don't anymore, but yeah. So, with that, I think we are into the end of our show. So Matt, thank you very much for coming on. Yeah. Also, don't forget, there's not a force pack for Comanches Caballeros, but if you don't have a friendly local game store, I highly recommend a friend of the show, Fortress Miniatures and Games. They are our sponsor, and you can find them in the show notes. You can also check it out on the screen there now. And they are a great source for all your BattleTech needs. So check them out. But Matt, do you have anything else you'd like to say about Comanches, Caballeros, and then give me a shout out? Any shout outs today?
I think we've had a wonderful presentation for Comanches, Caballeros. I think it's a fabulous set of stories that anybody can pick up and have a lot of fun with. And I have shout outs of my old podcast, Wolfnet Radio. Shout out to Aaron and Andrew Kroll, Tommy Kruger, and Charles Gideon Dirks. And I know we're excited for more content and more things coming out for products. So,
absolutely.
Thank you again for this opportunity and an invite.
And yes, thank you for accepting and joining me on it. So it's been a lot of fun. Looking forward to doing more. And we still have some that have some good fiction, like the Caballeros, but the list is long, but the content to cover is going to be shorter, continually getting shorter as we move forward. Because there's a lot of BattleTech units out there that don't have a lot of fiction. So we're going to go through the ones that do first, and then we'll move into some of the others, and those episodes could be a little shorter for sure, but but thanks again for joining me on this episode, and look forward to the next one. And it's always fun to chat BattleTech with you, Matt, and we will do it again soon, I'm sure. So,
absolutely.
But thank you all for joining us. Again, if you've stuck around this long, thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. Please check out our YouTube, youtube.com/@MercenaryStarPodcast. Also, you can look us up anywhere that you find your podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and I would love to interact with you there. But yeah, give us a like and a subscribe. Leave us a review. Every little bit helps. And I did look at my stats the other day, and 70% of listeners are not viewers are not subscribed. Can you imagine?
I know. How dare they not? They need to do that.
I think it's
you need to hit that button right now.
I would love for you to subscribe to the YouTube channel and give us a like. So anyway, thank you all. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Good night and God bless.